We are continuing our journey to the heart of Christmas, our Advent series, and we're going to be looking at peace at the heart of Christmas today. We're going to look at Luke 2, and if you want to kind of jump ahead and be an overachiever this morning, you can also go to Colossians 1. We'll look at that as well. Luke 2, Colossians 1, and then Matthew 5 momentarily here in a few minutes. But we're going to see today in the Word of God that Jesus' birth offers us peace, that Jesus' birth offers us peace with God and a peace that goes beyond our understanding, a peace that even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of fear, even in the midst of stress, is a very real and powerful peace that we can have, that we can enjoy, and that the peace of God, it's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of every pressure in life. It's God's promise and faithfulness that He is with us in the midst of what we're dealing with. So, you know, we see that last week we saw the prophetic telling of the coming of Christ in Isaiah and how God is faithful. You know, God is absolutely faithful, and how in the New Testament we see the fulfillment and the birth of Christ in the coming of Jesus, in that birth, and God demonstrating that faithfulness and how we can trust God, that He's going to keep His word, that all of His promises for those in Christ are true, that He is faithful to keep His word, and that when He says, "I am going to come back," He means it. And we can look forward to a second coming. So those are part of the aspect of Christmas that we celebrate, is the hope that we have and the confidence we have in God. Today we're going to look at God's offer of peace. God's offer of peace. At my house, we decorate substantially. So can I tell on us?
Yes.
Is it okay? I should have asked before the service, but so I'm learning to appreciate this about my wife. So Kim decorates, and I'm her lowly sidekick for that. Years ago, when the kids were home and we used to enlist them, we had that four teenager slave labor to employ. One year we actually counted how many totes we had, and I mean, not little boxes, I mean totes, that we had, and we had 20. Not autumn decorations and Easter and all that. That was just Christmas. So, and how many trees do we
have? You're really telling on me,
not... No. It's beautiful because, no, I mean, what do I always say? It's like, let's leave them all up. It's always a great day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So, it's like, because I don't want to take them down. It's because I love Jesus. It's not because, no. And like seven trees or so, I think we had, but we really go all out.
We have kept back.
So part of what we did, as each kid grew up and moved out of the house, we told them, "Hey, part of your moving out gift is a box of Christmas decorations." So, and we're like, "You must take one." So we actually pawned off Christmas decorations on our kids. So that was cool. And it helped them, you know, they could start their own. Does anybody need any, actually? Like, there's an extra tree down in God's grocery that we can give away. So one of the quirky things about me is that I really like themed music. And so, like, if we're having tacos, I like to put on Mexican music. If we were, you know, I like themed music for whatever the occasion. So when we decorate, we always put on Christmas carols and different, you know, stuff like that. And one of the songs that, there's certain songs that really are joyful, but there's some that really touch my heart, like Bring Me to Tears. And one of the songs that really impacts me that way, there's a song called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. If you think about the lyrics, I start tearing up, but Casting Crowns, it's a take on an older song that they did. Has anybody else heard that from Casting Crowns? It's a beautiful song, just a gorgeous song. And one of the moving things about the song is the honesty of it, because it talks about despair. And it talks about, like, darkness and hatred and things that are so prevalent in this world. But then emphatically, it just keeps coming back to this message, peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth, just again and again throughout the song. No matter how things are in this world, peace on earth. God has brought goodwill to men and peace on earth through Christ. And it reminds me, you know, it reminds me of what the season's about. In the midst of decorations and my third cup of cocoa, all the, you know, it's fun stuff, but it's like, no, Jesus was doing something amazing. He was bringing peace with God. You know, he was bringing peace to the earth. And so a restoration of peace. And it just brings me to tears when I hear that song. One of the neat things about the peace of God is, and the way that it's told in the story, the proclamation of peace with God in the Christmas story, is who it's first announced to. Of course, Mary, you know, heard from the angels, and Joseph heard from the angels about Jesus being, you know, Jesus is Emmanuel, he's from God. They understood he was the Messiah, but the first real declaration to other people was the shepherds, the angels making this proclamation to the shepherds. And if you know anything about that culture, the shepherds were like the least people that you would ever think it would be announced to. And yet God announced it to them first. And I just find that so encouraging for me, for everybody, that I think that God was saying something really special in this proclamation from the angels to the shepherds. And so the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And they were out there just keeping their flocks safe, doing their job. Then Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. God's word says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" It's an amazing scene. Amazing reality, this announcement of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, being delivered to the shepherds. And I mean, they're announcing to them the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah has come. In that first century, in that setting, if you were going to make an announcement that the King of all kings is being born, you know, you or I, we would not pick shepherds to be the people who would receive this. You know, we would be going to like Kanye and Kim, and we'd be going to, you know, or maybe the Bidens or the Trumps, or maybe, or we'd be going to the UN, we'd be going to the New York Times, we'd go to people, celebrities and the wealthy and the beautiful, and, you know, that's like, these people need to hear that the King of Kings, who's obviously going to want to hang out with you people, that's who you would think it would make sense, you know, that he would go to them. But it wasn't announced to them first, it was announced to these shepherds. You know, these shepherds were on the fringe of society. These were guys that were known for probably smelling like their animals. This is not who you want to sit next to at dinner, you know, necessarily, and maybe lose your appetite. These were guys who just were looked down upon in the culture. You know, you guys know how it is. I mean, people, you start labeling people and saying, oh, they're making all these assumptions because of the label, right? So when you label somebody as a shepherd back then, you're saying, yeah, they're kind of untrustworthy, these kind of shady characters who hang out with animals for months at a time, and they're, you know. And this is who this announcement comes to. It's amazing. And yet these angels, these heavenly angels, make this announcement that God and the Messiah is coming to the earth, Emmanuel is coming to earth, and that he is with those on whom his favor rests. It's really a shocking message, and it's shocking who it's being proclaimed to here on that first Christmas. And one of the wonderful things about that is the assurance that if this announcement is for the shepherds, it's for everybody. And that's part of what God is saying, that the peace of God is offered to all people. Peace of God is offered to all people, this gift of peace with God and the peace of God. And I love how the angels, they're kind of sensitive to the reality of the situation here and the emotions of these shepherds, because these angels are these brilliant, glorious, you know, powerful beings and arrayed in light and the glory of God shining around. And these shepherds did what anybody would do. I mean, they are terrified. They're shaking, you know, they're fearful. And the angels let them know, you don't need to be afraid. This is good news for everybody. You don't need to be afraid of God coming. You need to be able to celebrate and understand this is the keeping of a promise from God. That God is going to rescue. God is going to redeem. And he tells them, the angel tells them, where to find Jesus. Where to find Christ. But before they leave to go look for the baby, the angel says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The angel's so clear in the message, Jesus is bringing peace. Jesus is bringing something that we need and don't have. Jesus is bringing peace. A few years ago, one of the things that we did around this time of year, we connected with the Kokomo Rescue Mission, and it was really a neat opportunity. We put together, we called them blessing bags, and I think in each one we had a Bible, or at least the New Testament. We had warm socks. I think we put some candy in there. We put just all kinds of just goodies for the folks at the Rescue Mission. We went down there for lunch, and I think some of us helped with the lunch, to serve lunch. But we just hung out. We just had lunch there, sat at the tables and hung out with people, got to hear what was going on in people's lives and shared what was going on in ours. And we prayed for people. Now, sometimes we go with the assumption when you go somewhere like that we're going to go and bless people. And you get, you know, you're just blessed like crazy, you know, being there. And had people praying over us. It was wonderful. Such a good thing. But one of the things that I was just very aware of as we spoke with people there and wanting to speak truth and blessing for the people who were living at the mission was to let them know, and really a reminder for us too, you're not alone. You're not alone. In the celebration of the coming of Christ, it's God telling you so clearly he wants to be with us. You know, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and you are not alone. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, and no matter what walk of life, no matter what you think of you, no matter what other people think of you, God says, I am with you. I am with you in the birth of Jesus. And it is good news to celebrate. It is such good news. There was a survey that I was reading about done several years ago where they shared, I don't know all the demographics or the details, but they shared with quite a few people the Christmas story. And they said, who do you identify with? Is it the innkeeper? Is it, you know, is it Mary? Is it the, you know, who is it in the Christmas story that you connect with? And a huge percentage of the people said shepherds. Because I'm just an ordinary person. You know, I'm just a regular person. And that's one of the amazing things about the Christmas story and this announcement coming to the shepherds is that God is saying, listen, I'm not just coming for the people that you think highly of or that other people think highly of. No matter who you are at school, no matter who you are in your workplace, no matter even if you're the black sheep in your family, no matter who you are, God says in the birth of Jesus, I came for you. I came because I care about you. You know, peace with God, it's one of the greatest needs in the world. From the time that God created this world, and from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know, they had this beautiful fellowship with God and this peace with God and peace of God, and then sin just destroyed that. And from that time on, God's word says that humanity was at enmity with God, that we were an enemy of God. And that for centuries and centuries that there was this hostility between the human race and God, and that we had no hope because of that. But then it didn't just stop there, that because of the presence of sin in us, because we're sinners, we not only lost peace with God, we had no peace with each other. And there was war. And there was murder and violence and all these terrible things came into the world because of sin. And then even in ourselves, we didn't have the peace that God would have for his creation. That we were caring about this turmoil because of sin within ourselves. And that's not God's best. That's not God's way. That God wanted us to have a restored peace with him. And a restored peace with each other. And a peace within ourselves. And all of that in the person of Jesus. That's, it's part of the good news, is that we have the offer of that, beginning with the gospel message. Trusting in Jesus as our Savior, the grace of God upon us, and having peace with God, and then receiving the Holy Spirit and the opportunity to finally be at peace with each other. To finally have peace within us. Let's look at Colossians 1, starting in verse 19. This is how the Apostle Paul put it when he wrote to the church there at Colossae. He was expressing the role of Jesus in making peace. And Paul wrote, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," to dwell in Jesus, "and through him," through Jesus, "to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." You know, to understand the peace that was being ushered in as Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, you have to understand that it was always true that Jesus came to go to that cross. That he came to intentionally live out a sinful life, a sinless life that we could not live out. That he lived that sinless life for us, and that he took our sin upon himself and suffered the wrath of God against our sin in our place, so that through his blood we could have peace with God. And that was always God's plan, that on the cross Jesus would pay the price, and that the anger of God against our sin, the just and righteous anger of God against sin, would be poured out on the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, in our place, so that we could be forgiven and that peace would be available to us, peace with God. But also that we could have God's promise of the Holy Spirit, that the power of evil could be broken within us, and that we could be a people of peace, that we could be reconciled to God. It's peace with God that leads to the peace of God in his people. A second thing for us to recognize today: Jesus reconciles us to God and gives us peace. We are legally declared innocent when we trust in Christ, when we turn away from sin and trust in the Savior. But even beyond that, he gives us the gift of his peace. We receive that gift of forgiveness and the grace of God and the peace of God. We become friends with him. And he offers us the power to navigate through life and through difficult relationships and all the ups and downs, and to have his peace as we do that. Tony Evans said, "Peace does not mean you won't have any problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you." Amen. And that's the offer from God. Anybody who gives you the pitch that you come to Jesus and it's just all Skittles and unicorns and you're not going to have any trouble, that's not what the Word of God says. But he is God with you. And he is faithful to give that peace. And that peace is his presence. There is no peace apart from him. That peace is the very presence of God in your life in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you have that peace, you know, you can be in situations that you still have your emotions, you still have some doubts and fears and things, but there's this strange peace that accompanies everything. I remember being in a hospital at Ball Memorial Hospital in Muncie, shortly before my first wife passed from cancer. And I remember talking with her parents in the hallway, and I was still a fairly new believer at the time. I mean, I certainly didn't have any answers to explain the situation that we were in. But I remember my father-in-law saying to me, "How do you have this peace in the situation?" And I said, I don't. And I told him, I said, in all sincerity, I am the weakest person I know. I'm a new believer who doesn't know which way is up. And I have no strength in me. It's God's presence with me. I do have a peace with me. I do have a peace in a terrible circumstance, but it's God's presence. It's not anything to do with me. God desires to give us that. No matter what you are going through today, no matter what your past mistakes were, no matter how badly you have messed up, even as a believer, no matter what you're struggling with and how you wish you were more like Christ in a certain way and you keep falling and failing, no matter what the future holds for you, because you have God with you in your life, He can give you that peace. No matter what. No matter what, He can give you that peace that just washes over you because of the presence of God. A third thing to recognize today, and this is our final point today, peace is our purpose. Peace is our purpose. I really struggled with giving you this as a point today because our purpose really is to glorify God, to please Him. We are created by Him and for Him, and it's for His glory and His pleasure that we exist. It's not about us at all. But at the same time, I didn't want this to be understated because it is such a powerful truth that peace is our purpose. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Because we're a people that God is with, because He's Emmanuel, God with us, we are to embody His peace. And we don't do it perfectly, unfortunately, but we are, Jesus expects this of His followers. He expects us to embody the peace of God. In Luke chapter 9, if you turn in your Bible for a moment to Luke 9, verse 51. Luke 9, 51. Bit of a confessional passage for me sometimes. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and He sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for Him. But the people there did not welcome Him because He was heading for Jerusalem. They were prejudiced against the Jews. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do You want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then He and His disciples went to another village. There's some times that I feel I'm a little too much like James and John. You know, we can justify some righteous indignation pretty easily. But that's not at all what Jesus wanted. I mean, the Samaritans were doing really a horrific offense. They were rejecting Jesus. And Jesus said, even for that, don't hate on them. Even for that, don't want their destruction. Jesus wants us to join with Him in offering the peace of God to everyone. To everyone. It's part of our purpose. The peace of God, it's part of our witness to the world. That God is who He says He is. That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Sermon on the Mount, if you turn to Matthew 5 for a moment. Matthew 5, verse 9. In the Sermon on the Mount there in the Beatitudes, Jesus speaks to this. And He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Anybody else want to be called children of God? I do. Sometimes we make it about a whole lot of other things. But He said, if you're a peacemaker, people are going to know, oh, that's a child of God. The angels told those shepherds, peace is available. Because of the coming of this baby, peace is available, and you can be blessed, Jesus said. you can be blessed if you are a peacemaker, if you're a child of God, if you're willing to be so full of the reconciliation of God with you that you let it overflow to other people. If you are so willing to accept God's grace that you can give it when you're offended, when somebody mistreats you or hates on you or says something terrible on Instagram or Twitter or whatever about you, and you can let that just wash over you and give grace and forgiveness and mercy and be a person of peace. And Jesus is letting us know that's God's heart. He's saying when you do that, when you are determined to not have to defend yourself and to not have to be right, you are determined to be a peacemaker, people will recognize something different about you, that you are a child of God. And he wants us to have that family resemblance. He wants us to take that peace that we have with Christ and take it to the world, to be peacemakers with each other as well. And with everyone. So I want to encourage you this Advent season to receive the gifts that Christ made available to us. Certainly hope, we talked about last week. But to receive, because we have the Holy Spirit, to receive that peace from God. To trust Him, to keep His word, that He's faithful to give that peace. So many times I'm in situations where somebody says something I don't like or does something I don't like, or I do something that I don't like that bothers me, and it's too easy to look at other people as a problem to be solved. I'm guilty. I've done it. But they're not. Every person is an object of redemption and love, and an opportunity to show grace and peace. Not a problem to be solved. Heard a good quote, I don't remember, in some movie, where somebody said to another person, they said, those guys are hammers, and to a hammer, everybody else is a nail. That's not to be us. We're to be peacemakers. So I want to give you a twofold application today. One is your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, get a bulletin before you go. There's some applications and the points to ponder there. Unpack those things, those questions for yourself. Unpack those with family today. Share those points to ponder. It's a good way to really look at the passages that we looked at today, see how they're relevant to those questions. Think about the peace of God that you have because of Christ. And think about how that is to flow into the lives of those around you. And how God is glorified and pleased in that. And the other step is to pray. And we're going to do that now. So I will open us in prayer. And then I'm going to be quiet for a moment. And I want you to take advantage of the opportunity. God is with us. God is with us. Invite Him to be Lord over whatever it is in your life, in your heart or your mind today, where His peace hasn't been reigning, but He wants it to. And then I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Father, we are so grateful Lord, for 10,000 years to praise You for peace, that You would desire peace with a rebellious race. So much so that You would declare in the birth of Christ that You are God with us, and that You are God for us, and You are God who loves us. And we see that in the person of Jesus. Father, we rejoice today that Your word says You are a God of peace, and that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Father, we confess that sometimes our family resemblance to you is not what we would have it be or what you would have it be. Lord, we know that you are faithful, and we know that you invite your people to be a people who are gentle and humble and peaceable. And that in being that kind of people, that we are showing the world the presence of Christ. Lord, that's what we desire. So, Father, we know that first, before you do that work through us, you need to do a work in us. And that we all need that today, God. We confess things that we're anxious about, things that we're troubled about, God. But we invite your peace this morning, Lord, your peace that surpasses understanding, your peace that Christ paid for already on the cross. We invite that peace to come in and change our hearts. That peace to change our thoughts, Lord, to change our feelings today. That peace to come in and change our lives and to strengthen us. God, we pray you do a work in this quiet moment. Father, thank you for each blessing you are speaking into our lives, God. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts to give us peace. Thank you that through your word, your Holy Spirit has shown us today peace that is at the heart of Christmas and at the core of our lives, God. Thank you, Lord, for the precious peace that we know in Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light where the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope.